Blog Talk Radio.
Psalm 82.
Mizmor Pevet, Mizmor Le'Asaf,
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty, the mighty.
Elohim Nitzav Ba'adat El, El, El,
El, El. He judgeth among the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods, the gods.
Bekerev Elohim Yishpot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations, 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 inherit all nations.
Let God be exalted.
Come with it.
O our Father, who art in Zion, always be thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth, thine will be done on earth. All the way, be thy name.
Send me way down to an attack.
get to take sister fear. When I take a sister fear, me say she start to fear away. Me say you can't go as I am with your carnal mind. Your carnal mind have to stay behind. Say the righteous stand and then the wicked must fall. We're getting on the ball and don't you ever you stall. It's to fade away. What be me? It's to fade away. Could you put him away?
Let's rise and shine and give Jah the glory. His mercy endures for me. Make me free like a bird in a tree. Let's sing and shout His praises forever, so the world can see. Give thanks and praise to His majesty, knowing that He is the conquering lion, and He can set you free. Jah's children, open your eyes and see. The meek shall inherit the earth, and the wicked shall get his reward. Promise to give you the world, but don't listen to them boys, they are fraud. They'll never get away, no, 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 no. And if you're weary, tired and heavy laden, your burden you know He will bear. Jah will protect you, so have no fear. You shall be like trees planted by the rivers, living with humbleness dear. No more in bondage, your niceness we share. The meek shall inherit the earth, and the wicked shall get his reward. Promise to give you the world, but don't listen them boys, they are fraud. They'll never get away, no, 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 never get away. Ooh, let us stand and give Jah all the glory. Come, let us worship His name. Yesterday and forever the same.
Where is the black man's paradise that Moses Calvary fought for yesterday? It will feel fighting for today, yeah. Where is the black man's paradise that Bob Marley fought for yesterday? It will feel fighting for today, yeah, yeah. Where is the black man's paradise? Harsh to say, but we're living in a wise world. It's a statement that many fear to say, but Jah is our protector and we fear not to say. It's a threat to this world, yeah, it's a threat to this world. Where is the black man's paradise? Malcolm X fought for yesterday, it was still fighting for today, yeah.
You don't know nothing about me, so listen to what they say. Don't judge me. Spend a little more time to understand what I'm all about. Listen to me. You don't know where I'm coming from. I really don't care what I'm thinking.
You are going like so, well then when you come a dance asleep, you won't come text every sleep.
Jump asleep,
cause this is a brand new release. Come little Johnny Wonder.
Well, you wanna trust to who is a cowboy. You wanna trust to me, Lord.
You wanna trust to me, Lord?
Ah, hey. You feel
that you're the baddest son, but tonight my soul has a fling, and you have to fade away. Fade away. You said that you have enough to play, but tonight we are gonna kill you with it. You have to fade away, yeah. My son played up every day, yeah. And the few you have just can play no way, yeah. You feel that you is the done tonight, but you must have the fight. You have to fade away, yeah.
Yo, I mean, I'm so blessed up, you know.
The principle of Rastafari and the effect it had on my life as a little youth is tremendous, God. Like I said, it helped me to analyze issues in a more third manner. It helped me to look at things from a perspective. You know, overcome the evil with the good, you know, at all times. Hmm. And to always triumph where I see that, like, I'm, you know, who never prosper. Rastafari ever helped me to cross that bridge, and it has brightened the focus of the music, which I relate in all aspects, bringing a more spirituality into the music.
Yes, yes, yes. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Here for the Rastafari, the Tuesday podcast. Right here I am, Ras Yadinos, Ras Yadin of the LOJ Society, Yadin here. And here we're at the seventh sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong called Why Yitzay. And he went forth, Tsa'ah. In another sense, also means like to exodus, like to kind of like to come out. He went forth. Here we have Yaakov, Jacob, going forth from his family home due to the situations concerning his brother Esau and the sale of the birthright and the blessing that some call the stolen blessing. But here we're going to pick up right here. We have today's daily psalm. We have Psalm 9, the ninth psalm. Interesting, according to the royal order here in the Gregorian calendar, this day is November 9th, and here we have the ninth psalm. One of the reasons for playing and sharing that fadeaway for, you know, at the intro, that fadeaway mix after the evening, you know, psalm here for the third day of the Shabuah, and that's Psalm 82. But right here, going to write up an overview as we catch up with the Torah reading and feeding, and then also seeking to touch on the metaphysics here of the Esau, the Esau, but we're going to zoom in on the metaphysics of Jacob, Yaakov, going from the low degrees to high degrees to get, like, right now applications as we study in the Word, to get not just history about the past or about the previous, but what we can learn and also apply right now, right now, now. So here. Yes,
I'm going to testify. I'm going to testify what Jah has done for I.
And here, picking up with this seventh sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong, why you'd say, and he went forth also to bring into the studies more on the Ethiopic Book of Jubilees, the Metzhafe Kufale, also to pick up on that context right there, but here, picking up.
chapter 28. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob's and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him he gave him a charge, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajal, to be his wife.
Girl, hey. We don't know how we end them, how we're working out.
We and them, Esau and Jacob, how is they going to work this out? The question, if it's a question, it's still the question today. Who is Esau and who is Jacob? Here we play the latter part right there from Genesis chapter 28. In chapter 28, moving forward with this seventh sabbatical, we have Yaakov, Jacob at Beit El. Beit House El, house of God. El Betel, God, the house of God. That's what one of the names there, one of the names for the divinity. And it's interesting to study the names of divinity, the names of the deity, divinity as well, metaphysically, of course, so we can get right now applications. But here we have the Abrahamic covenant confirmed, being confirmed to Yaakov, as we pick up more with chapter 28 of Genesis. Here we pick up at verse 10. As we mentioned with the book of Jubilees, Ethiopic, we emphasize the Ethiopic book of Jubilees. I mean, there's the other from the Dead Sea Scrolls, but it's kind of like a three-card Monty what they do. It's like fragments. The Ethiopic is more complete, and where the fragments are missing, they basically reverse engineer the Ethiopic, a Shemitic language, into the Afro-Shemitic Hebrew. So we go to the original and give credit where credit is due. So Genesis chapter 28, we pick up with verse 10. In verse 10, where it reads right here, 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 and Jacob, Yaakov, he went out from Beer Sheba, and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place, and he put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. So here we're getting the Bethel. Bethel is another key word sound to get a metaphysical overstanding, the basic physical or the basic meaning in the Hebrew or in the languages here with the Hebrew, and also the metaphysical application. So here we get Yaakov, Jacob, he's moving towards Bethel, right? And we get Jacob's ladder, what is called Jacob's ladder. But the key word right here is, and Yaakov went. Now, did you pick up on the seventh aliyah as he played in the We and Them Torah dub mix right there? We had the seventh aliyah in chapter, which is the seventh reading up offering, Genesis chapter 28 at verse 5, where it says, and Isaac sent away Jacob. Actually, this whole chapter is key to those who look side-eyed at Jacob because of the whole incident that's called the stolen blessing and what had happened, so forth and so on, because when we go to the top of the chapter, again, let's go to the top of the chapter. The top of the chapter, verse 1 of Genesis chapter 28, and Isaac, Yitzhak, what is the meaning of Isaac? Do you know the meaning of Isaac? See, it's important to know the meaning of these words because as the Hebrews, you know, as the Hebrews would read or study this, or the faithful, it's important because it adds to the narrative. Just saying the name, you know of Isaac Hayes, right? You know of this Isaac Asimov or maybe other Isaacs, yes, but what does the name Isaac mean? I'm pointing that out so we can get it to more of the metaphysics of that, the basic meaning, because as you read it from that perspective, as the original and true people, true seekers would read it, there are other levels of understanding and understanding that are attainable by having these keys. So, and Isaac called Yaakov and blessed him. Wait, hold up for a moment. Here we're in Genesis chapter 28. If you recall, chapter 27, even here in the Schofield Study Bible, it is subscribed as the stolen blessing. We say, nah. Maybe something was a little bit, you could say, some might say deceptive. Yeah, there's some deception. Here's what's interesting. There's that motto of Mossad. I know this is a little point aside, but it says, by deception make war, right? This is one translation, one translation of this particular verse. It says, by deception make war. And they say, oh, that's the Mossad. That's the white Jews. Oh, you see, by deception, they make war. And they draw that particular verse. What is interesting, they draw that particular verse from Proverbs, Now, that is a possible translation, right? That is a possible translation, right? That's a possible translation. Let me just bring up the verse. I want to get the verse right here just to show why we need to be able to, like, you know, if somebody, you're hungry and somebody gives you fish, that's cool, right? That's generous. That's charitable. That's tzedek. That's righteous. That's generous, charitable, righteous. Those words link together. But then if they're not there to, you know, give you fish, you should be able to fish for yourself. And this is what we're seeking to share with the brothers and sisters. So here we have, just as an example of how deep ending on certain translations might give a sense of it. But as we look at KJV, we're looking at the sense of words today, while some of the senses in that time, say 1611, was not the same. But let's go into this here, Proverbs 24 and 6. It says, for by wise counsel, I thought this is by deception. So look it up if you would, Mossad, M-O-S-S-A-D. What's the Mossad? Mossad means the foundation. It's the Hebrew word, Mossad, foundation. For by wise counsel thou shalt make war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. So this was one of the first you could say models for that intel, you know, and we're about our intel for John Kingdom, you know, as they're about their intel for what they're doing. So this is from the Proverbs 24 and 6. It says, for by wise counsel thou shalt make war. Now there are some interpretations of this that says by deception, you know, by deception make war. Now, I'm looking through some of the alternative translations into English, and I don't see deception there. I mean, some of the other translation, Easy English, KJV Light, ISV translations, BBE. BBE says, for by wise guiding, you will overcome in war. And in a number of wise guides, there is salvation. Salvation. Interesting. Did it say, let us say KJV says, it says, and in multitude of counselors, there is safety. But see, the word for safety is teshuah. Teshuah is a kind of a feminine form of the word from the root, yasha. Yasha means to save, to gain victory. The word for saving in the name of the Moshiach Yeshua, in the name is salvation. That's like the religious kind of interpretation, but also the word Yesha means to like rescue, but it also can mean to gain the victory. If you're in a war and you get Yeshua, that means you were the victor and not the victim, right? So it has applications literally salvation, right, Teshua. But you can see the translator here from the KJV or from the Hebrew into the KJV decided to translate as safety. Now, if you deep end on that, then that's, you know, then that's your roof. That's your brass roof over your head. But here we're seeking to get to our roots. So here, the first part of the verse, I point this out because sometimes, you know, when I heard that, I said, what? Yeah, this is the Mossad, they say, for by deception make war. So I had to look this up. And when I looked it up, I said, oh, this is Proverbs 24 and 6. But King James Version says, for by wise counsel. Now, see, the Hebrew word here is tachbula. But let's get the verse. Let's bring out the verse right here for a moment. We're looking at the interlineal. So it says, ki b'tachbunot. By way of tachbunot. So tachbula is like in a singular sense, tachbula, right? The H8458 means like direction, counsel, guidance, jagai, right? Guidance, ayah, guidance, good advice, wise counsel, counsel, but in the sense of wise counsel, direction, guidance, counsel, good or wise counsel, right? And we get to the very root of this particular word. We have the sense of steerage, steerage, like you're steering, like good steering. Like in the literal sense in the Hebrew goes back to like management of ropes. You know, like oars and like when, you know, like boating, like the management of ropes, that's how you steer back in the old days, you know, moving different ropes. Even today, if you go sailing, you know, there's that management of ropes, that steerage. But that's the same word right here where it says for by wise counsel that somebody decided to translate as by deception. By deception, right? By deception, but actually the word is is counsel, advice. I guess if you are wise, like in a sense, Jacob said to Esau, he said, you hungry? You just came back from hunting, but you hungry. You don't seem like you have any food. He didn't come back and say, hey, can you cook this up for me? I'm going to sit down for a moment, cook this up so I can eat. He could have said that, but he basically said, you know, feed me. And, you know, Jacob was homebody. He was home, right? The homie was home, you know, while Esau was out in the streets. He came, saw, you know, somebody else eating, prepared some food and wanted to get some of that. And so what did Jacob say? Jacob said to him, he said, sell me your birthright. Now, people say, why would he do that? Why not? Why not? I mean, haven't you said things to your brothers and your sisters? You know, have you said things to other ones? Now, notice. You know what the birthright, brothers and sisters, no doubt you recognize how important that birthright is, right? You know, based on the story, based on the narrative. Now, if I were to ask you, and you had the firstborn birthright, right? And I had some food or some ice or whatever, and I'm about to get in it, and you say, hey, I'm hungry. I need some of that, right? Give me some of that. And I say to you, I say to the eye, sell me your birthright. What would you say? Would you say, well, what good would this do to me? I'm at the point of dying, so what good would this do to me? Would you say that? Right? Because, see, he didn't even think about his descendants. But anyway, be that as it may, I just want to bring this out right here. Its context is very important. So the word actually, tabula, comes from chabal. Chabal, to bind, to lay pledge. Right, to lay pledge. It's an interesting root. And I guess if you get to the roots, you could connotate. You could connotate a sense of, you know, deception, but the usual translation of it is by wise management, wise steerage, wise guidance, wise planning. Because at that particular point right there, Esau. I'm saying this because I notice a lot of Christian folks, even watching some T.D. Jakes, my earthly, you know, she went through some things and now she, you know, be checking out a little bit of, you know, T.D. Jakes and stuff, and he be going into his stuff. And sometimes, you know, I'll sit and listen to T.D. Jakes, you know, and some things, you know, he's a wise guy. He's smart, you know, he may act that way on TV, but, you know, he be reading, he be studying, he be knowing more than I think he be telling. But he be going into Jacob sometime, like, oh, Jacob is this. It's almost like running down Jacob. And I wonder why people do that. They say, oh, look at his name. His name. Well, what about his name? What does his name mean? Yaakov. What does Yaakov mean? And it seems as though there's many Christians and many ones read the Bible, and they seem to have an Esau mentality. Now, by studying the metaphysics, it makes sense why a lot of folks, a lot of us might even have an Esau mentality. Well, what is the Esau mentality? You see, Esau, he sold his birthright, and because he sold his birthright, that means that the blessing that goes with the one with the first birthright is not to you because you sold your birthright. In other words, the firstborn blessing goes to the one with the firstborn birthright. Like, for example, we're running a race, right? We're running a race, marathon or something like that, or relay race, or just running or whatever. And you cross the finish line first. And they say, okay, to the first place gets gold, second place gets silver, third place gets bronze, right? And I happen to come in, let me just put this in a sense for teaching. I come in third place. I come in last. Why am I arguing about getting the gold? What should be the argument? You came in third place. And see, this is what Esau did. Esau sold his birthright, And then when his father is to bless him, there's something interesting I just want to zoom in on right here. And it's in verse 34 of chapter 27, where it's subscribed Esau's unavailing remorse. Like, stop crying, you know, stop bitching and moaning, Esau. Verse 34 says, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety. You know, here, let's do this right here. I know I've done this before, but let's go through this. What is this word subtlety? What is this word subtlety? It says that Jacob, the brother of Esau, he came with subtlety, right? Subtlety. So let's look this up right here. Give me one moment right here. We have something to present, but, you know, getting on the mic, getting on the ear right here, listen to the small, still voice right here, you know, and sometimes there's more to share. Okay, subtlety. Okay, that brother came with subtlety. The word here is mirma. mirma. Now, you have to recognize who is saying to him, this is his father, Isaac. But remember, Isaac is not impartial. Isaac is not impartial here, all right? One could say Rebecca was not impartial, but her partiality was on the side of prophecy, Rebecca, the mother. Her partiality was based on the fact that when she was, you know, during the time of the youth's gestation, you know, while the two youths were in her womb, in her matrix, they were wrestling, right? And the Bible clearly says, it says, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And then it says in Genesis chapter 25 at verse 22, and she, you know, they say, oh, a woman can't do this, a woman can't do that. What woman are you talking about, the Bible? The Bible where it says, and she went to inquire of Yahweh. She went to inquire of Jehovah. Now, note, a couple of verses earlier, well, actually the verse before, it says, Isaac entreated the Lord. He entreated by Yahweh for Ishto. Esheto or Seto for his Isha, his Oset, his wife, his woman, because she was barren. And Yahweh and Jehovah was entreated of him, and Rebekah, Ishto, his wife, conceived. Verse 22, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Or really more like she said, if so, why I thus? If so, why I like this? And she went to inquire of Yahweh, and Yahweh, Jehovah, said to her. So wait, hold on for a moment. Because we hear a lot of things like the Bible is sexist and said the woman can't do this and the woman can't. But here we see that the man, he entreated the Lord for his wife, and then she, Jah, was entreated of him, and she conceived. And then while now she has the children within her, they're struggling together. She inquires, and she went to inquire of Jehovah, and Jehovah said to her. I want you to keep this in mind right here, right? Keep this in mind right here, that Jehovah said to who's her? To Rebekah. Remember, Rebekah is the one that the Bible says here in these chapters right here in Genesis. It says that Isaac loved Esau. And it tells us why, because he ate up his venison. In other words, Esau was a cunning hunter. He went out into the field to hunt and so forth and so on. He was very cunning, crafty. You know, he was a good hunter and everything. The hunter, beware of the hunter. He was a good hunter and everything. And he caught whatever he caught. You know, it's not like he went to the store to buy, you know, some meat. You know, he went out there and he hunted it. And when he brought it home, he fixed it up. He shared it with his father. His father loved him because, right, of that fact. Now, notice in the same chapter, it begins off chapter 27, you know, it says that Isaac was legally blind. Or he was blind. His eyes were dim. Right? But see, even that right there, you have to understand it in the twofold, the Hebrew truth. You know, the two truths, Hebraically. Naturally, he was blind, or his eyes were dim, but also his spiritual eye was dim. Because check this. He knew his wife could not conceive because, according to the Bible, she was barren. He entreated Yahweh for her, and Yahweh Jehovah was entreated, and she conceived. Now she has these children struggling. She in turn to Isaac said, "Isaac, can you entreated for me? Can you go and ask him why is this?" No, she went directly and she asked, and Jehovah said to her, "What? Two nations are in thy womb." And I'm emphasizing this right here because everything else that we have in the history of the children of Israel in the Bible, based on Esau and Jacob and the Israelites and the Edomites and all that, is based on this right here. It's based on a prophecy being revealed to a matriarch, to a woman, to Rivka. Two nations are in thy womb, and two men of peoples shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. See, a lot of times we read these things, but we don't really read, like in school, they said that class, reading comprehension. Now, you read that, you hear that, I'm sure everybody hear that, but did you pick up on the last part where it said, and the elder, who is the elder? So what in the world was Esau asking his brother to serve him? Wait, you are the elder. You should be bringing home some food, hunting, and cooking up for me, because it says the elder shall serve the younger. See, Esau and Jacob, they were wrestling, right? It said they were wrestling in the womb, and the one who prevailed in that wrestling, right, or wrestling match was Esau. So he came out first. So this prophecy that the mother, remember, it was the mother who received these words right here. And then we get the narrative here in chapter 25 that Esau, he came out first, right? And then Jacob, right, came out holding on Esau's heel. Let me show you a little something. Esau's heel, the word heel in Hebrew means akab. The akab, or some may point it as ikab. Ikeb, the Akab, the Akab, Ikeb, Ikeb, the Akab. The Akab is the heel. So when we hear the name Yaakov, Hebraically, we know that the name Yaakov is derived from the same root words that also has the meaning of heel. So thus the sense of heel grabber, right? That heel grabber. So just point that out, and then we get to the sale of the birthright. Right, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. He was a man of them ancient streets. The field was like the streets. And Yaakov and Jacob was a plain man. That's somewhat misleading right there, because the word plain in the Hebrew is tam. The same word in a dual sense that is ascribed to Noah as being perfect in his generation, tamim. Time, like a plain man, a perfect man, a complete man in that sense. He was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac, verse 28, and Isaac, Yitzhak, loved Esau because, so it gives us even the reason, because he did eat of his venison. Now, this is not to say that our patriarch is a bad guy or anything like that, but it's to show the human, the human condition. Right? He loved Esau. Why? Because he ate of his food. Right? Remember what Yeshua HaMashiach said to some of them, that y'all are just following me because of the bread and the loaves? Not because of teaching, but because of the bread and the loaves. You know, when Yeshua teaches, people be eating. You know, so Yeshua even said that some of them, not all, some of them were following him only because of the bread and the loaves. Right? But it says, but Rebekah loved Yaakov. Now, can you hear the difference? Jacob loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, of his kill, like what he killed, you know, whatever enemy brought forward and so forth. But Rebekah loved Jacob. It doesn't give a condition. So in a sense, we could say, well, if Esau, this is a question, if Esau didn't stop hunting and didn't have no venison, would Isaac still love Esau? See, the conditional of the love was that Esau was loved by Isaac, the father, because of all the venison that he hunts, right? But Rebekah loved Jacob. There doesn't seem to be any condition there. Now, one could say, well, maybe this is because of what Jehovah said to her. I just think, you know, they said mama's no, right? The mother no, right? And it's interesting because a lot of ones be dogging out Jacob in this narrative here, and we really see that one of the major unsung heroes, heroine, so to speak, of the narrative is Rebecca, both as matriarch and as wife. I would even submit to you that in a sense, it seems as though she saved her husband, that Rebecca saved her husband. I know if you go into theological cemetery schools and stuff, they're not going to teach you that because you're learning from somebody with a calcified pineal gland. You know, you learn from whitewash, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, that whitewash. They can't even tell you the truth that, you know, the people in the ancient times were black people. So, you know what I mean? So what can you expect? If they can't see that superficial truth, then even a deeper truth in the narrative, most likely many times they don't get to see it, that it is because of what Rebecca did. Because here we see Isaac saying of, we are doing what the Bible says. It says rightly dividing the word of truth here, a little there, a little. So we're going over here, pointing out this link and saying how this right here explains this over here. So here we're in Genesis 27 again at verse 35. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and have taken away thy blessing. Now, we got to pause here for a moment. Did anybody ever tell Isaac that Esau, okay, let me rephrase it. Did Esau say, well, you know what, Pops, I had sold my birthright. I sold my birthright. I even kind of despised it. Right? See, because the birthright and the blessing depends on what order of birth is connected. So the firstborn, right, has that birthright, get the firstborn blessing, the secondborn, the second, you know, everything is divvied up, you know, according to that particular order. Did anybody tell Isaac? But then Isaac, his eyes were dim, and he's just looking at that food right there, right? Now, what woke Isaac up was Rebecca. Rebecca wakes Isaac up, and what's interesting is right here in the narrative. It's right here in the narrative, and too many people are being Esau's advocate. Yeah, that's what I'm going to call it. They're being Esau's advocate. Don't be Esau's advocate, right? And he said, right, in verse 36, so here we get the sense of a conversation going back and forth between father and son, between Isaac and Esau, and he here should be Esau. Is not he rightly named Yaakov? Now, that should make you question, well, what does the name Yaakov mean? Right? But they just be Esau's advocate. Take Esau's testimony. He says, for he has supplanted me these two times. Supplanted me. Esau, whatever do you mean by supplanted you? Supplanted you these two times? So you're saying that what happened to you this time with what Jacob did, when Jacob went in there under his mother's pachbulot, right, under her wise counsel, her advice, right, kind of to dress up and, you know, make the father make believe in that sense, right, that you are the brother. And then the first time when you wanted to eat some of his red stew, his kewet, and he said, sell me your birthright, and you basically sold it, right, under a swear, under an oath, and you ate and went about your business. How could these two times? So here we see that Esau, right, Esau is a liar. Esau is a liar, and he's not really saying to the father really the truth. He says, for he has supplanted me these two times. And the word supplant is the word akab. This is what Esau means, so that if you're reading it from the Hebrew, you can understand the pun. There's a pun. There's a very interesting pun, like a rhyme. There's like a rhyme scheme. You know what I mean? There's a rhyme. You know, and the scripture is one of the best rhymers in the sense when you're reading the Hebrew, you'll see how some things go together. For example, he says, is he not rightly named Yaakov? For he have akabed me. Is he not rightly named Yaakov? Because he has akabed me. But according to why they named him Yaakov is because he grabbed on to Esau's heel. As Esau came out first, Esau's coming out first, basically pulled Jacob out, and they named him that because he had grabbed on to Esau's Ikeb, his heel. All right. But he says supplant, circumvent, to take by the heel, to follow at the heel, to assail assiduously. Some say it means to overreach, but getting to the root of Jacob's name is to seize by the heel. In a figurative sense, is to circumvent, like somebody about to do something to you, so you circumvent them. Another way of saying is like you trip them up by the heels, like as if tripping up the heels. But it can also mean to restrain, as if holding by the heel, right? You know, like you and your sibling are fighting, something falls on the floor, a ball is over there, or like in the movies, a gun is over there, something like that, trying to get to the gun, you grab them by the heel, you pull them. That is the sense. That is the sense of what Jacob did. But Esau goes on to say that he has supplanted me these two times. He took away. And that's a strong word there, took away. You mean like he just like vicked you? He just took you? He made you a victim? He took it away like that? He took away, right? He took away my birthright. Is that a lie or not? Did Esau lie right here? He didn't say, I sold to him my birthright. Because if he had said it, I had sold to him, Daddy, I sold to him my birthright. So why are you done crying? And therefore, it's only right that he can. So somehow it seems as though Isaac was in the dark in maybe more ways than one, than his eyes just being dim. So here he says, he took away my birthright, and behold, he hath taken away my blessing. Now, what a lot of people may not know is that birthright is connected with blessing. Firstborn birthright gets firstborn blessing. Secondborn birthright, secondborn blessing, and so forth and so on. And he said, Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Now, let's just scroll forward for a moment, right? To show, let's now point to Rebecca right here, right? Rebecca. Rebecca says here in verse 42 in chapter 27, right? Well, to go to verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. You mean that's the reason? I thought he might have hated Jacob because he sold his birthright. You know what I mean? Not saying that hate is right, but if you had to hate him, well, really, Esau, you should hate yourself because how could you do that? I mean, sell your birthright for something to eat. You know what I mean? Come on, you should know that he wasn't going to starve to death. He was like a drama queen, a king, right? He was being dramatic. He wasn't going to starve. Really, he was going to starve to death after he came back hunting. And why wasn't there nothing in his hand? Or did he have something from the hunt and he wanted to eat his and eat his? He wanted to eat Jacob's food and also eat his own food. Was it greed? But regardless of what it was, in verse 41 of chapter 27, Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, I want you to check that. Esau said where? In his heart, to say in his mind, in himself, in the center of himself, the innermost of himself. The days of mourning for my father are at hand. So he said, basically, we're going to be crying for daddy because daddy about to die. He said, daddy about to die. Daddy going to die, right? But now check this out. Jacob was away for 20-something years. Daddy was still around. See how presumptuous Esau was? He said the days, and see what hate can do? The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Wow. For real? For real? I mean, siblings, that's what siblings go through, a whole lot of stuff. It must be some bad siblings that would want to just kill their sibling over something that they had part to do. He didn't say that, oh, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Right? And then after my father gone, I'm going to kill myself because of what I did. No, he's going to kill his brother Jacob. Now, notice in verse 42 of Genesis chapter 27, what does it say? And these words of Esau, her eldest son, were told to Rebekah. Who told it? Who told these words to Rivka? All right. You must be a spiritual woman right here, because it says that this reminds me of earlier when the Shalosh Anashim, the three men, the Holy Trinity, HaShilosh HaKadosh, came to Abraham's house. And when they were saying, when Jehovah was saying to Abraham, one of the three was saying to Abraham how, you know, he's going to have a son, right? And Sarah is behind the tent door, right? And she laughs. The Bible says she laughs in her heart. And then Yahweh, speaking to Abraham, says, why did Sarah laugh? Now think about the scene here. The scene is these three visitors, right? These three mortal men. That's what it says in the Hebrew, Shalosh Anashim. One of them, according to the narrator, is Yahweh, is Jehovah, right? Is speaking to Abraham, telling him that he's going to have a son, right? At this time, in this season, so forth and so on. His wife, right, Sarah, she's behind the tent door. She's in the tent. And when she hears Yahweh, one of the three mortal men, right, saying what he's saying about having a child, she laughs, right? She laughs in her heart. And then Yahweh says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now, the first time I had read it, or the earlier times I had read it, when I didn't see this, I was thinking, like, she laughed, like, ha, 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 ha. But then, you know, going through a reasoning with Ishti, Esheta Shali, my own Isha, my own wife, who was reasoning about it, and she pointed out something. I have to just give credit where credit is due. And I looked over again. I said, oh, Chan, she laughed in her heart. She did not even laugh, like, ha, 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 you know, and you hear some laughter coming from behind the tent door. So you can imagine Abraham's face, like, what? Sarah, she laughed. You know, because early in the narrative, when Jehovah El Shaddai is telling Abraham that he's going to have a child and his child is going to be the one born of Sarah and not Ishmael, that chosen child, he even laughs, right? So they both laugh, and therefore, when they had the child, they called him laughter. Yitzhak, Yitzhak, Yitzhak means to laugh. Even in Amharic, Yitzhakam. Yisakal, he laughs. He laughs, he will laugh. Yisakal, Yisak. Yeah, Yitzhak means to laugh. And this word is shared both in the Amharic and in the Hebrew, because both of them are the same as being Afro-Shemitic languages. So here, Esau said these things in her, I mean, in his, well, in her. He said in his soul is she. Bitch-ass soul said these things. But anyway, he said these things in his heart, right? And these words was told, right? These words of her eldest son was told to Rivka. And she sent and called Jacob, her youngest son, and said to him, this sets up the context of where this seventh sabbatical study, why you'd say, picks up with. Why did he go forward? Well, it's all predicated on this right here, that she called, right, Jacob, her younger son. Remember, it says the elder shall serve the younger. So what in the world was Esau trying to make his younger brother serve him? Right? He was to serve his younger brother, not the other way around. Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. They say, a mama always knows. Well, I don't know always, but this righteous mama, Rebecca, she knew. It says, now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise. Flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days. Did she mean days and years? Must be. It wasn't just a few days, but years. But anyway, she says, tarry with him a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. So it must have been, they must have been used to, she must have been used to knowing how her son was hot-headed. Her son would get hot-headed and then it'll kind of like, you know, it'll fade away and everything, as it were, right? Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee and he forget that which thou hast done to him. Thanks, Ma, that which I have done to him. Okay, Ma, right? Then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? That's a very curious thing. Why should I be deprived? Because if Esau kills Jacob, then one is gone. But she says, why will I be deprived of you both? Uh-oh. Anyway, verse 46, Rebecca said, now, after she talks to her younger son, Jacob, she now says to her husband, to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? Now, I emphasize that part there because the last word that we get before we pick up with this seventh sabbatical study for this Shabbat Strong with Wyatt Say, picking up with Genesis chapter 28 at verse 10, before it says, and Jacob went, Wyatt Say, Yaakov, before it says Jacob went, it says about two verses up, it says in verse 8, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan, because Heth is one of the tribes of Canaan, that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father. It's interesting. There seems to be an emphasis that if it didn't please, you know, Esau, he was trying to please his father. It's almost like, you know, kick rocks, ma. You know, but he's really trying to please his father because it says earlier that the daughters of Canaan didn't please his father or his mother. But it says here that when Esau, from Esau's perspective, Esau seeing his eyes, in his eyes, Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac, his father. Because here, Esau is trying to figure out, why all this happened to me? All right? Now, if you go back to chapter 26, it's how you rightly divide the word, chapter 26, right? In chapter 26, at verse 34, it says, and Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite. To say Hittite is to say daughters of Heth. Hittite is one way, it's the same word, but just how it's pointed in the Hebrew. The Chitti, Chitti, right? The Chitti and the Chait. Chait was a man, and the Chitti are the people. So he married Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemath. Right, Bashemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. And notice in verse 35, it says, which were a grief. This was a grief of mind to Isaac, Yitzhak, and to Rivka. So both of them didn't like that fact that he had married, you know. So Esau must be trying to figure out why did, you know, it seemed like moms was in it with my brother. And my father, they tricked my father into giving the blessing to my brother. But then when we come to chapter 28, after the whole, quote, stolen blessing, right, chapter, we come to chapter 28, and it says that Isaac now, after these words of Rivka to Isaac, Isaac calls Jacob and bless him. Wait. Hold on for a moment. Didn't you already bless him? But it's what kind of blessing did Isaac give to Esau? He said, go and, right here in verse 4 of chapter 27, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul, that she, nefesh, nafshi, my soul, my psyche, which is feminine, that she, my soul, that my soul may bless thee before I die. That my soul, right? That my soul may bless thee, right? Now, in chapter 28, at the top of the chapter, Isaac calls Jacob and blessed him. But I thought he always did bless him. So is he blessing him again? So wait. You mean you would think that Isaac, after all this, be like, yo, wifey, why you do this? And son, you deceive me, and blah, 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 blah. But no, because it's all was explained. It's all, and we get the narrative right here, even in the script. So people gloss over these chapters and don't see the connection, right, how the proverbial scriptural dots are connected. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him. To charge him is to command him. To command him. Here, just station, platform, podcast, identification here, the Rastafari Podcast, Testify Tuesday. Those listen to the live stream. We have about like 53 or so minutes, you know, just to remind ones to call in, 515-602-9761. If you listen to the live stream in about 53 minutes, it'll go off to hear the fuller full of this T2T, this Rastafari the Tuesday podcast. Be sure to call in. Right at 53 or so minutes, 515-602-9761. Well, let's go forward. So Isaac calls Jacob, and this is right after Rebecca said to him, you know, concerning Jacob, if Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, because we find in chapter 26, verse 34 and 35 that Esau was 40 years old, and he took two wives. Esau had two wives. Both of them were daughters of the Hittites, one of the tribes of the Canaanites. Now, when Isaac calls Jacob and blesses him, so I just have to laugh right there because there's more than one kind of blessing. You know what I mean? But there's the blessing that was there before was a blessing. He said that my soul, right? My soul may bless thee. But now here Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, thou shalt not. So blessed him with a command, right? He blessed him with a command. Like the soul blessing is like a feeling. I just love you so much. I hope everything work out for you. You know what I mean? Because you're my soul, son. That's what Isaac was planning to do with Esau right there, right? But now here it's like Isaac now is given the real blessing, right? The real blessing, right? Perhaps he was going to do this already, but anyway, we're here. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and commanded him and said to him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Now, we're going to have to get into that right there. What's up with the Canaanites? Some black people think that we're Canaanites because white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christianity tells us that we're Canaanites. You know, a lot of people down the South think they're Canaanites. It's interesting what the church would be teaching. Maybe you're not familiar with this, but those who are down in Alabama and in them regions down there, this is what they teach. And then the white man, he lies further and says that Ham was cursed. Actually, Canaan was cursed. So we're going to have to dig into, well, who were the Canaanites? What does Canaan mean, first of all, in Hebrew? What does Canaan mean? But who were the Canaanites, and why would the patriarch bless Jacob and then command him, then charge him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan? You know, I mean, I know parents being upset with the type of spouse that you choose, but this sounds really serious. You know what I mean? Verse 2 says, arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife, a woman from there of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Well, you know, there's a saying, and I think it's somewhat true. You know, you can tell me what you think about it. The saying says, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. What do you think? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. So, you know, mothers, you know, matter. Verse 3 says, and El Shaddai. Now, when you go over the blessing, right, previous that was given, he uses the basic generic name, Elohim, in chapter 27, right? In chapter 27. In fact, Jacob almost tripped up when Jacob coming in as the firstborn, as Esau, right? And we might see that as a deception, but was it really a deception? If Esau sold his birthright, well, you're not the firstborn. All right, so what you get, really, I should get from the patriarch. But anyway, he came in, and Isaac asked and said, how you came back so fast? Right? How is it that you have come back so fast? It's verse 20. It's Genesis 27:20. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? Beni, my son, Ben Shali. And he said, because Yahweh, Eloheka brought it to me. And then you notice in the next verse, Yitzhak, it seemed like he's getting suspicious. He's like, wait. He says to Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may seal thee, Bene, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Why does he say this here? Because Esau is not used to using that language. Esau is not used to talking about Jah, Jehovah. He's not used to saying that, Yahweh. You know, in fact, some of the Jews don't like to say the Jah, the YHWH even today. But anyway, that's another point right there. But it's because of what he said, what Jacob said. He attributed him being able to get the venison and come so quickly and have it ready for his father because Jehovah, he says, because Yahweh Eloheka, right? He who he be, thy power brought it to me. And Yitzhak said to Yaakov, come near, I pray thee, that I may seal thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And then he says something interesting. This here is a kind of a blessing, kind of indirect, but it's one of the greatest words right here said. And I say this to my fellow Israelites, you know, my fellow Beta Israelis, you know, I say this to my fellow peeps, the Rastafari Israelites. Here, verse 22, it says, Ethiopian Hebrews, I say this to you too, right? And Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, now, here's what he said. Check out what he said. The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Do the metaphysical work on that. The voice is Jacob's voice. So, in fact, the scripture explains the scripture. Isaac, he gets suspicious because of how the one who you think Esau, Jacob as Esau, you know, Esau don't talk like that because Yahweh Eloheka, he don't speak like this. Come here for a moment. Are you really my son Esau? Esau, are you getting spirituality? Right? And then he says the voice is Jacob's voice. Jacob, Yaakov speaks that way. He speaks about Yahweh. He speaks about El Shaddai. He speaks about the Almighty. But the hands, I'm feeling the hands, and they feel rough, like they feel like a hunter's hands. The hands are Esau's, right? Are the hands of Esau. This here is a blessing as well. This is a blessing. This is a blessing. In other words, you know, Esau's blessing was a sword. But watch it, Esau. We may be grabbing on your heel. But watch it. Remember what Papa said, right? He said the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So it's a very interestingly braided situation. But what clarifies it all is when we get to chapter 28. In chapter 28, it is clear because Isaac now, he calls his son. He's clear on things. No doubt it was told, hey, you know, Esau has sold his birthright. What? Yeah, he sold his birthright. So why was he crying about this? Call Jacob. Jacob, come here. And blessed him and charged him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Here's what I want you to do. Go to your mother's brother. Then in verse 3 he says, and El Shaddai, the quintessential name of this patriarchal generation, El Shaddai. Remember the angel of the face says that I was known in the one in the burning bush, I was known as El Shaddai, but by my name Yahweh, I was not known to them. But anyway, El Shaddai, El Shaddai is one of the attributes of the Son, of the Word made flesh known as the Son. In the Hebrew Trinity, El Shaddai would be an attribute of the Son who becomes of the flesh of Mary, the one who we know as Yeshua HaMoshiach. El Shaddai, bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Now, when you look at the blessing in the previous chapter, you don't hear an invocation. You don't hear one time an invocation of Hashem. I think I scanned through the whole chapter, right? The only ones that use the name Yahweh in the chapter is Isaac, and then the section I just read from verse 20 in chapter 27, Jacob. right, that caused his father to get suspicious whether he was his very son indeed, because the voice is not, this is not how Esau talks. Esau doesn't invoke the Almighty, right? He's not a Hebrew. Esau is not a Hebrew. Anyway, and El Shaddai, bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham. Uh-oh. How many times now after the chapter of the so-called stolen blessing do we now have the blessing, right? We have the real blessing. And give thee the baraka of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee. Not only a blessing to him, but to his progeny, his posterity, right? That thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, that El Elohim gave to Abraham. And Isaac sent away Yaakov, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, the son of Betuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rivka, Jacob, and Esau's mother. But now, when we scroll forward to verse 6 now, in the seventh Aliyah from the previous Torah reading and feeding Todo generations, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob, in chapter 27, Esau only heard that, he took my blessing, right? He took my blessing. But now Esau was able to see his father again, just in case there was a mix-up in the previous chapter blessing, it's done over. And this time it's in front of Esau, gets to see this himself. But note Esau's response. And check out, what is Esau thinking here? And Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take him a wife from there. And that he blessed him. And that as he blessed him, right, he gave him a charge. As he blessed him, he gave him a commandment. See, that's a real blessing. As he blessed him, he gave him a commandment for even more blessing in that sense. But as he blessed him, he gave him a charge saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And this is still part of what Esau is seeing, what Esau saw. What did Esau see, right? And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. Note that, because it seems like when we have Jacob his father loved him because of what you call him. You really don't see where it seems like he maybe have obeyed his father a little bit, but not his mother so much. It's kind of interesting, don't you think? Right? And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. So Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. And we know what the 10 words say concerning that, right? And was gone to Padan Aram. And Esau seeing. How many times we got Esau saw. We have it in verse 6 and in verse 8. And Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. It's a little question. You mean he didn't know that? You mean he didn't know that? It was the first time he heard about this? But, you know, Esau is Esau, right? And Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. And please, stop thinking of a white man every time you hear Esau. I just have to say that right there, because otherwise you're going to be missing the whole thing, right? You know, Esau was the twin brother of, anyway, let's just go through this. And Esau seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father. But Esau does have a connection with the white man, and that's through the Canaan connection. We'll bring that forward as we move forward. And then went Esau to Ishmael and took to the wives which he had, Mahalat, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. So here, brothers and sisters and brothers, just giving a little context, a little extra reasoning, because in reasoning ones and ones, it's like some of the questions that ones and ones have, many of the answers are here, but we have to really like read this with comprehension, because some things you'll miss over, you know, some things we missed over, but in going through the Torah reading and feeding, sometimes we're going through the reading again in this semester, this year, and say, wow, that connects with, oh, that explains that right there. Hearken to the voice.
Hearken unto the words of Jacob. These are the words of our father, O Israel. Let me leave, let Reuben live and never die. I will give praises to the Most High. Let me leave, let Reuben live and never die. I will give praises to the Most High. Praises be to the Almighty One. Shall you see where we are going? For our sake I make those pleas. For the seeds of my sowing, destroy
my real life class, yeah, I'm with the Jah Rastafari. A winner race naturally. I won a boo house and a train. It's my time enough. A time get to you to shine enough. To welcome to my world. A world full of experiences and realities. I mean to teach and preach to both the poor and rich. I mean to inform, educate and entertain as well. But before that, let's acknowledge the presence of the Almighty. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olio Na Adonai, El Shuwen Shou Siu Jatai, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kokam Na Adonai, we will praise and lift. Slatia. Through your power and through your blood, through your teachings and through your word, me have no doubt that you are my Lord. So I will praise and worship Yahweh. Through your teachings and through your book, you shall one of a blessing right on me. In this world, why won't there's no other like you? So I will never replace you. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olio Na Adonai. Angels still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, here come not Adonai. We will praise and lift you high. El Shaddai, you stay with me. True was my hustle, my Lord is my savior. True was my struggle, he is my armor. In my battle, he made me conquer, so we gave him the mantle. King of kings, Lord of lords, stripe of Judah and the conquering lion. Bonani Maja, Bonazi Ago, Yebusele, Moko Beni Samako. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olio Na Adonai. It's true angels still the same, by the power of the name. Eu should I, eu should I, eu come na Adonai. We will praise and lift you high. Eu should I. Open up my eyes to see your work them. Open up my ears to hear your voice them. Not forgetting my nose for the sense of smell. Open up my lips so that I can tell them. Give me more strength to do your work. Strengthen my heart to worry your faith. Give me more life to witness the blessed day. Open up my mind for me to understand. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olio Na Adonai. And true angels still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakam Na Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your power and through your blood, through your teachings and through your word, me have no doubt that you are my Lord. So I will praise and worship you. Through your teachings and through your book, you shall one of a blessing right by me. That is good while you walk, no other like you. So I will never El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Olio Na Adonai. It's true angels still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kokam Na Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Only my real life last year with the joy, Rastafari.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, protect our night, every day we cry. We no want a marrow on our skull if we fly. Praise the Most High. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, protect our night, every day we cry. We no want a mariner's call fi fly. Praise the Most High. Believe me. Atted.
Bakadamawi.
Kadamawi.
Inflatia.
The home place is due for
And here, today's daily psalm according to the royal order. We have Psalm 9. Psalm 9 right here, first ear.
Psalm 9.
Mizmor tet. Lamnatseah almut laben mizmor le David.
I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgaiah, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not alway be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah, 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 Selah.
Mizmor tet. Lamnatseah almut laben mizmor le David. Mizmor le David. Mizmor le David. Mizmor le David. Mizmor le David.
I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Selah. Selah.
Usually call something like this like an addendum, like added to it in a sense. The ninth psalm. We had the ninth psalm, I don't know, in this particular season right here, according to the reading, the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, a daily psalm, after the order of Melchizedek, Melchizedek, the righteous king, even the king of kings, Kedemah, we have the Selassie. That for I and I in the Rastafari order, we had the ninth psalm, a song of thanksgiving, thanksgiving of deliverance, even though the superscription right there, you know, upon Mut Laben, Al-Mut Laben, concerning the death of the sun, and in this whole season right here, you know, even in this season, this time, you know, the Cheshwan, you know, Cheshwan, they say no feast, no fast, it's the darker season of the year, the other side of the year. It's like we're going from the heights, even at that head of creation, the time that was known in the ancient times, the head of creation was speaking about July 23rd, when the sun is in its height, right, at the high point, right, and then we're coming to the low point. So we kind of meditate with that coming in from the cold, coming in, and, you know, from that whole medi there, natural mystic blowing through the air, like for the season and the time, it's just the time of the Shana, the time of the year, the Amet or the Udet, the Amet, as the heavens turn, as they turn around this earthly plane. So the Shia right here, important word, and we've been focusing and sharing some highlights from this particular book as we're bringing this forward for the disciples and discipleship, Rastafari discipleship, the New Testament quotations correlated with Hebrew Old Testament scriptures. This particular book right here by the author is Henry Goug, last name G-O-U-G-H. This was published 1855, the New Testament quotations correlated with the scriptures of the Old Testament in the original Hebrew and the version of the LXX or the Septuagint, and with the other writings, apocryphal, Talmudic, and classical, cited or alleged to be so. Of course, with notes and a complete index, a very, very important work that the College Press of the LOJ Society of His Majesty has reprinted, you know, so we have this in the reprint as well. It's interesting because as we look through this, both for the Torah portion reading and feedings, in the Torah portion reading and feedings, the manna, right, the manna in that time in the sabbatical, we look and compare often, you know, we see, well, from what to what, the Torah portion. So this Torah portion is from here to there in the five books of Moses. Right? Then we look into the book and see if there's any of these quotations from Old Testament scriptures that find their way forward to the Brit Chadasha, to that new and that living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, the paroket, that is to say his flesh. So it's interesting to make those comparisons there for the Torah portion reading and feedings. And also for the daily psalms. So here, in speaking about the daily psalms, and also recent, but this is a theme that continues to resonate, because in the ninth psalm, we have the ninth psalm, the Almut Lavein psalm, or the Tait, Mizmor Tait, Tait, the ninth letter Tait. All right, so here we have in Psalm 9, right, verse 8, in some versions, verse 9, where it says, "And he shall judge, and he shall judge the world in righteousness." And he shall judge the world in righteousness. So if you have your Bible, your sacred scripture, B-I-B-L-E, just turn to Psalm 9 with I and I right here, just for this rhema word. All right, rhema word, and this is connected with the recent reading and feeding on the Psalms and the Targum and the breakdown and the build-up, right, and the quotations, you know, the selected quotation that find their way into the New Testament in our Torah portion, discipleship, reading, and feedings, it's interesting where they appear and to give some emphasis, right, in the season and according to the royal order and in the cipher. So here in Sefer, the Sefer Tehillim, the Psalter, chapter 9, when we get to verse 8, "And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." Now, the first part of the verse, "And he shall judge the world." The world. In the Hebrew, we have Wuhu, Wuhu, Yishpot, Tevel, Bitzedek, Bitzedek. Wuhu, and he. The he here is emphatic. It is the pronoun. It's not just the sense of he in the sense of the Hebrew construction of the verb, right, where that would be a part of the verb. But it is the pronoun, and he, wihu, and he. Some would point it as, some of the Jews would say, vihu, right, vihu. But we, the black Jews, the line of tribe of Judah, pointing it from that ancient Afro-Shemitic and the Ethiopic root, wihu, yishpot, tevel. Tevel, the Tevel is the inhabitable portion of the earth. So there's certain words generally for earth, but different types of earth. You know, when we reason about different kinds of earth and people talk about extraterrestrial speculation. See, extraterrestrial is really a mountain. I want to say this once again, because ones and ones are going to get it. Hopefully, can't wait till they get it for themselves. There is the terrestrial. There is the extraterrestrial, and then we have the celestial. Once again, we have the terrestrial, which is the earthly plane. Then we have the extraterrestrial. The extraterrestrial is really the mountain, because that's extra earth. This is extra earth. This is why even in Egypt they built the mirrors or the pyramids and the tower, the mounds, in that sense, the extra earth, right? The extra terra. Extraterrestrial is not what you have been led to be like. So I focus on that because this word here in this quotation from the Old Testament that finds its way into the New Testament in two particular places. So in the ninth Psalm, at verse 8, the first part of the verse where it reads, "And he shall judge the world in righteousness." Wuhu, Yishpot Tevel b'tzedek. Tevel is an inhabitable portion, because there's some portions of the earthly plane that are not inhabitable. And as one of the ones come into a more true perspective, right, on the real shape of this earthly plane, we begin to recognize this is a yay and amen, and it's true, right? And the ancients were not just speculating, but there's many things the ancients, especially as preserved in the Hebraic, in the scriptures, right, that they knew to be true. But here we have, and he shall judge the world. So the world, think about this for a moment. We speak about the world, we're speaking about the inhabited and the habitable portions, right? He shall judge with who? Yishpot. Yishpot tevel, tevel b'sedek, b'sedek, in righteousness. So we also have this in Psalm 96, round about verse 13. He shall judge the world. He shall judge the world. Yishpot tevel b'sedek. He shall judge the world with righteousness. And then we have Psalm 98 and 9. Yishpot tevel b'sedek. With righteousness shall he judge the world. So here in the ninth Psalm we have the pronoun who, or who, right? With who, and he, yishpot, yishpot, and he will shafat, 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 right? Shafat, it judge, yishpot, yishpot, tevel, tevel b'sedek, tevel b'sedek. But in 96 and 13, it's the verb, right, and the object, and the qualifier. How shall he judge the habitable portions? So the habitable portions is often translated as world in that sense. Just to note that right there, the tevel, right? It's not used the alam or the olam, but the tevel, 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 the habitable portion. So we have Psalm 9 and 8, the first place in the cipher, in the Sefer Tehillim. We have the fuller fullness because of the emphatic pronoun, wuhu, wuhu, yishpot tevel b'sedek. But here in 96 and 13, we have yishpot tevel b'sedek. And in Psalm 98 and 9, yishpot tevel b'sedek. With righteousness shall he judge the world. With righteousness shall he judge the world. So the English translation, sometimes the word is a little different, but what we see is interesting from the Hebraics of it all, the Hebrew, right, we see it's the same three key words, yishpot tevel b'tzedek. And what makes Psalm 9 and 8 so very important is the first in the sequence, right, of witnesses. So we have three witnesses to the fact that who, and he who be who he be, yishpot tevel b'sedek, will judge the habitable portions of the world, of this earthly plane, b'sedek, in righteousness. Now, it's just a good note to make note, especially for those who are born again, you know, who are born again, and those who are seeking to be born again. And ye must be born again. If you're not born again, that it's in his Son, right, our Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, when we say the King of Kings Christ, that's his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of Elohim, of the true God, the true good, and his righteousness. That's the key. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Logos, that word become flesh, right, that he who be who he be, that he, wehu, yishpot tevel b'sedek. And we also have it when we say melkeh, melkeh tzedek, right? Melkeh tzedek, right? Melkeh tzedek, or maliki, maliki in the Hebraic, maliki, also maliki is tzedek. Melchizedek, right, the King of righteousness, the righteous King, shall judge the world, right, in righteousness. in and through himself. With who? With who? Now, in the New Testament, we have Acts chapter 17:31, where it reads, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. Again, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 31, it reads, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, as well as revelation reveals the truth. Revelation, abyot. Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. War, war. Everywhere there is war. So we can overstand that, you know, that natural, that earthly sign in the divine heart and mind. So we have Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verse 31, because he has appointed a day, he who be who he be, his divine majesty, appointing a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. In righteousness. In the Hebrew, tzedek. In the Greek, it's interesting because the thing is, was en dikai, dikaio, dikaio su, sune. Dikaio sune, if we're reading that, dikaio, dika, 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 you know, in the Koine Greka, right? Then we have Revelation 19:11, in the part of the verse that reads, and, kai, and, dikaio sune, and in righteousness, bisedek. Hebraically speaking, tzedek, he doth judge, and coupled with that judgment is war. So it's very important to give ear and hear the war speech of his majesty. Karmawi, Karmawi, Haile Selassie. Give ear, give ear, give ear and hear, because wahu yishpot tevela bitzedek. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. Even the great Melchizedek, Malachias Edek, the king of righteousness. In righteousness he doth judge and make war.
አንዱ ዘር ከሌላው ዘር ይበልጣል ይሻላል የሚባለው እምነት ዋጋ እንዲያጣ ሆኖ ካልተወገደ አንድ አገር ውስጥ አንደኛና ሁለተኛ ደረጃ ዜግነት ካልተሰረዘ አንድ ሰው በቆዳው ቀለም ብቻ የመብቱ መጓደል ካልቀረ ለሁሉም ሰው የዘር ልዩነት ሳይታሰብ ኩሪየነ ኢኮኖሚክና ተመሳሳይ ሰብአዊ መብት ካተሰጠው ነዚህ በዚህ ከዚህ በላይ የተዘረዘሩት ሁሉ ከተፈጸመበት እንደረስ ሁላችንም የምንደግመለትና የምንመኘው ያለም
about to go into the last Iowa, the grace period right here. We have the Royal Amharic of today's daily psalm, Psalm 9, to go through a verse by verse. And what's interesting about the psalm is that here in the ancient Bible, Psalm 9 and 10 are connected actually as one psalm. So sometimes we might refer to like numbering, sometimes numbering, like the superscription is often included in the ancient Bibles as the first verse, the superscription, a little small type. But here we get where Psalm 9 and 10, in some of the ancient Bibles, including in the Metzach Kedus, the Authorized, Revised, and Hart Bible, the book and the Bible of the line of the tribe of Judah, Revelation 5:5, where it is connected. So we get the connection as well as Psalm 9 and Psalm 10. We also have a Midrash. It's kind of long. We'll see if we just put it there on the record right here, here, here. First things first, I'd like to let one hear the native speaker here, Abraham Chebuda. We're using the Babylon Now Listen. Babylon Now Listen from near and far. Now, in the content of the psalm, like judging and making war, there's 1936 and there is 1963, as well as the word sound said in that mountain, that Har of Megiddo, of assembly. Armageddon basically means the Mount of Assembly. So when the nations of this world were assembled and His Majesty Karmawi Negus Neges said those words, match being struck in Ethiopia, the flames burning Europa or burning Europe, those things came to pass, those things happened, and even from that time, there's many who saw and said and bore witness to the prophetic spirit, or that prophet. They called His Majesty a prophet because they said they should have listened. Many of those who were repentant said they should have listened to His Imperial Majesty. They would have avoided the destruction of Europe and, in that sense, that old world, that old system of things. But we know that these things were prophesied even in Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, it says that Jehovah's intent was to gather all nations. Well, what a perfect opportunity, the League of Nations, the League of Gentiles, of nations, as well as the United Nations. So we point a point of reference to the words of the King Messiah, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, Kedemawi Haile Selassie, at the League of Nations, 1936, as well as 1963, for more of a context here, here, here. But here, 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 for those listening near and far, right here, here, here.
Call in to hear the full of full now, or hopefully catch it on the replay. 515-602-9761. One to hear the full of full now. Call in.
Many are calling before choosing.
So right here, 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 got less than 90 seconds right here, but you can always catch it on the replay. So here, going to ride up first with the Royal Amharic. It's going to be both songs, but then we're going to give the breakdown and build following after that. So here, here, here. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 9 and 10 in the ancient Bible.
መዝሙር 9 ለመዘምራን አለቃ በሙትላቤን የዳዊት መዝሙር አቤቱ በልቤ ሁሉ አመሰግናለሁ ታምራትህንም ሁሉ እነግራለሁ ባንተ ደስ ይለኛል ሐሴትንም አደርጋለሁ ልዑል ሆይ ለስምህ እዘምራለሁ ጠላቶቼ ወደ ኋላ በተመለሱ ጊዜ ይሰናከላሉ ከፊትህም ይጠፋሉ ፍርዴንና በቀሌን አድርገህልኛልና ጽድቅን እየፈረድክ በዙፋንህ ላይ ተቀመጥ አሕዛብን ገሠጽ ዝንጎችን አጠፋ ስማቸውንም ለዘላለም ደመሰ ጠላቶች በጦር ለዘላለም ጠፉ ከተሞቻቸውንም አፈረሱ ዝክራቸውም ባንድነት ጠፋ እግዚአብሔር ግን ለዘላለም ይኖራል ዙፋኑንም ለመፍረድ አዘጋጀ እርሱም ዓለምን በጽድቅ ይፈርዳታል አሕዛብንም በቅንነት ይዳኛቸው እግዚአብሔርም ለድሆች መጠጊያ ሆናቸው እርሱም በመከራቸው ጊዜ ረዳታቸው ስምህን የሚያውቁ ሁሉ ባንተ ይታመናሉ አቤቱ የሚሹህን አትተዋቸውምና በጽዮን ለሚኖር ለእግዚአብሔር ዘምሩ በአሕዛብም መካከል አደረ አርጉን ንገሩ ደማቸውን የሚመራመር እርሱ አስቧልና የድሆችንም ጩኸት አረሳምና አቤቱ እዘንልኝ ጠላቶችም የሚያመጡብኝን መከራ እይ ከሞት ደጆች ከፍ ከፍ የምታደርገኝ ምስጋናውን ሁሉ እናገር ዘንድ በጽዮን ልጆች በደጆቿ በማዳንህ ደስ ይለኛል። አሕዛብ በሰሩት ጉድጓድ ወደቁ፣ በዚያችም በሸሸጓት ወጥመድ እግራቸው ተጠመደ። እግዚአብሔር ፍርድን በማድረግ የታወቀ ነው፣ ኃጢአተኛውም በእጁ ሥራ ተጠመደ። ኃጢአተኞች ወደ ሲኦል ይመለሳሉ፣ እግዚአብሔርን የሚረሱ አሕዛብም ሁሉ። ድሃ ለዘላለም አይረሳም፣ የችግረኞችም ተስፋቸው ለዘላለም አይጠፋ። አቤቱ ተነስ፣ ሰውም አይበርታ፣ አሕዛብም በፊትህ ይፈረድባቸው። አቤቱ ፍርሃትን በላያቸው ጫንባቸው፣ አሕዛብ ሰዎች እንደሆኑ ይሆኑ። በቅንፍ መዝሙር 10 በዕብራይስጥ። አቤቱ ለምን ርቀህ ቆምህ? በመከራም ጊዜ ለምን ትሰወራለህ? በኃጢአተኛ ትዕቢት ድሃ ይናደዳል፣ ባሰቡት ተንኰላቸው ተጠመዱ። ኃጢአተኛ በነፍሱ ፈቃድ ይወደሳልና ዓመፀኛም ይባርካል። ኃጢአተኛ እግዚአብሔርን አበሳጨው፣ እንደ ቁጣውም ብዛት አይመራመረውም። በእርሱ ፊት እግዚአብሔር የለም፣ መንገዱ ሁሉ የረከሰ ነው፣ ፍርድህም በፊቱ የፈረሰ ነው። ጠላቶችንም ሁሉ ይገዛቸው በልቡ ይላል፣ ለልጅ ልጅ አልታወክም፣ ክፉም አያገኘኝም። አፉ መርገምንና ሽንገላን ተንኰልን የተሞላ ነው፣ ከምላሱ በታች ጉዳትና መከራ ነው። በመንደሮች መሸመቂያ ይቀመጣል፣ ንጹሐንን በስውር ይገድል ዘንድ ዐይኖቹም ወደ ድሃ ይመለከታል። እንደ አንበሳ በችፍግ ዱር በስውር ይሸምቃል፣ ድሃውን ለመንጠቅ ያደርጋል። ድሃውን ይነጥቀዋል፣ ባሽክላውም ይስበዋል። ድሃ ይዋረዳል፣ ይጎብጣል፣ በኃያላኑም እጅ ይወድቃል። በልቡም ይላል፣ እግዚአብሔር ረስቶኛል፣ ፈጽሞም እንዳያየኝ ፊቱ ሰወረ። አቤቱ አምላክ ሆይ ተነስ፣ እጅህም ከፍ ከፍ ትበል። ድሆችን አትርሳ። ኃጢአተኛ ስለምን እግዚአብሔርን አስቆጣው? በልቡ አይመራመረኝም ይላልና። አየኸው፣ አንተ ክፋትንና ቁጣን ትመለከታለህና። በእጅህ ፍዳውን ለመስጠት ድሃ ራሱን ላንተ ይተዋል። ለድሃ አደግም ረዳቱ አንተ ነው። የኃጢአተኛንና የክፉን ክንድ ስበር፣ የኃጢአቱንም ብድራት ክፈል፣ ሌላ እስከማይገኝ ድረስ። እግዚአብሔር ለዘላለም ይነግሣል፣ አሕዛብ ከምድሩ ይጠፋል። እግዚአብሔር የድሆችን ምኞት ሰማ፣ ጆሮውም የልባቸውን ሐሳብ አደመጠ። ፍርዱ ለድሃ አደግና ለችግረኛ ይደረግ ዘንድ ሰዎች በምድር ላይ አፋቸውን ከፍ ከፍ ማድረግ እንዳይደግሙ።
Salam to Tena Yisraeling. Today's daily psalm, according to the royal order, the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here after the order of Melchizedek, Malkiyazedek, the righteous king, Garmawi Karmawi, Haile Selassie, Hakadosh, Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, bless the Holy One, blessed be He, blessed be the name, yes I, bless, bless. Yes, yes. So here we have today's daily psalm. And just a couple of highlights right here. It's a song of thanksgiving. A song of thanksgiving. Here in the Sefer Tehillim is known as the date. The date, according to the Hebrew, Aleph Beit, is the date. It's the ninth. So here the ninth. Psalm IX, a song of thanksgiving. In some of the Hebrew manuscripts and in the ancient, we could say the Greek, the LXX, and the Latin versions, and also in the Metzhaf Kedus of Negusa Negeze, Ethiopia, Garmawi, Karmawi, Haile Selassie, in the Book of the Seven Seals, as we compare and contrast the HSV, Haile Selassie version, side by side of the KJV, these two psalms are joined, and also to share the native speaker and reader, Abraham Chebuda, also bringing forward Psalm 9, he also attaches Psalm 10, because in some of the Hebrew manuscripts, like and ancient manuscripts from the ancient Greek and the Latin versions, IX, Psalm 9, and X, Psalm 10, are joined into one and joined as one mizmor. So here we have mizmor Tate. Here we have mizmor Zetang. But also Mezmor Aser, you know, 10 is connected in the ancient. Now, the same current of thought, it runs through both. Dependence upon Ha-Elohim, the true good, the true God, Egziavihar, the sustainer of the good, the generous, open-handed, our Father, for escape from evil machinations. Mechanizations and machination, the evil machines. Also, a trace of an alphabetical acrostic in the Aleph Beit in the Psalms is discernible in the verses of the two Psalms, although several letters are omitted. Now, there's a resemblance in the phraseology of the two Psalms, Psalm 9 and Psalm 10, likewise is noticeable. Nevertheless, a modern opinion point of view is, quote, it seems better to regard Psalm 10 as a later mezmor, chant, intonation, vocal praise composed as an appendix or as a continuation, attenuation of the earlier under different conditions, rather than as part of a mezmor or psalm from the beginning was one whole. So instead of looking at it that it was from the beginning as one whole psalm, some better perspective of it, which some of us might share and agree, is that Psalm 10 was composed later, as we just brought forward. Now, this is an agreement with the Judaic tradition, and we also see, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, our Judeo-Christian tradition and groundation in the Metzhav Kedus, Book of the Seven Seals of His Majesty, that yes, this is an agreement with the Judaic, Jewish, and the Lion of the Tribe of Judah trod tradition, which divides the compositions into two separate psalms, but also links in the Metzhav Kedus, the Mezmor Dawit, links that these psalms are connected. Here, we have a hymn in Mizmor 8, Psalm 9, Mezmor Zetang, we have a hymn of praise for victory over national enemies. And the historical background may be that which is narrated in 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel VIII, 2 Samuel chapter 8, to get the historical context to this psalm, Psalm of David, Mizmor LeDawid. Now, also very interesting, we have here is the superscription. The superscription that we have in today's daily psalm. Just to focus here, you know, on a couple of these basic groundations, we have the superscription, La Menatzeyach Al Mutladein Mizmor LeDawid, for the leader, the chief musician, upon Mutladein, Al Mutladein. Al-Mutlavein, Mutlavein, death to the son, death of the son. This is a superscription of today's daily psalm, Psalm 9, which is also themed as a psalm of praise, a psalm of praise. Now, the Schofield
The Schofield Study Bible, Habarim. Yes, I am. Machibur Tenyoch. Let's go right here to Psalm 9. And the footer here, we have a little footer here. It says Mut or Muth, as they have it pointed, Mut Laban. Death of the Son. So Hebraically, we can interpret as death of the Son or death to the Son, is not a musical instrument, but the title of the song. And they say that it's possibly connected with 2 Samuel. Here we have 2 Samuel chapter 12 and 20. 2 Samuel, so take note. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and 20 in the Schofield, First Schofield Study Bible notes. So just to point that out right there, it's in the footer right there for the disciples of the King of Kings Christ. So here, Mut Laban, death to the Son. There's an old Judaic commentators that explained that David, some say, composed this pian, this kind of like a Hebrew psalm composition on the death of a neighboring ruler named Laban, who, according to some commentators and commentaries, had downpressed Israel. But there's no record of him in the Bible, in Torah, right, history. So by analogy, it is most likely a direction to the leader of the orchestra, Le Mezamorana Leka, the musical director, the musical leader, the chief musician, indicating the name of a song whose melody was to accompany the psalm, the Mizmor. It's almost like in a session or a chant hall, or they say dance hall, you know, roots and righteous, you know, where you say to the selector, you know, upon such and such a rhythm, you know, upon this rhythm, you know, to the chief musician upon such and such, or to the, you know, the band, you know, to play a certain rhythm, you know, for a certain tune or a certain type of composition. So just pointing that there, but it's very interesting. Some even look a little bit deeper into, you know, the crypticness of the superscription. Bamarinya, we have today's daily psalm, Mezmor Zeteng, themed as Bekufu Lai Furd. Bekufu upon the evil, upon the ratchet. Bekufu Lai upon them Furd, the Furd. Furd, Furd, the judgment. A judgment. Lemezamran Aleka, to the chief musician, to the Aleka, the chief of the Mezamran. Be Mutalavain. So we have this also here pointed, showing us the Hebrew pointing here in the royal Amharic. Be Mutalavain. Ye Dawit Mezmor. Now, today's daily psalm, couple of just highlights. We've gone into a little bit more of a Hebraic, getting into the roots, and hopefully that'll become available for those who seek to study that objective reality and the truth. But looking at a couple of overviews of today's daily psalm, all right, just because some time, you know, iterations here. We have verses 1 to 2. Verses 1 to 2 begins off with the praise to Jah after the victory. And so in verses 2 and 3, right, verses 2 and 3 in the Hebrew corresponds to the KJV, verses 1 to 2, verses 1 to 2, where it reads right here, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart I will shew forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. Bamarinya we have, in name Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we begin. Lemezamranaleka, the Mutaladin, Yedawita Mezmork, Uteran, Abetu, the Libe Hulu, Amesaginhal, Otamrate, Hinem, Ohulu, Negralo, Bante, Desilenya, Lahasetinem, Adergalo, Lulhoi, Lesemihis, Amralo. Very, very interesting what we have right here in the opening two verses, the praise, the eyes, as with my whole heart I bear to my father's father, O father of the house, I bear to Yod Hey Weh Hey, he who be, who he be, Libe Hulu, Libe, Libe, my heart, Be, in, Libe, in my heart, Be, Libe Hulu. With all my heart, or in my heart, all, in all of my heart, Amesa Ginhalo, Amesa Ginhalo, I will praise thee, I mel ta'amratihinim, hulu, and your amazing, wondrous, marvelous, marvelous, ta'amrat, ta'amrat, ta'amratihinim, hulu negralo, I will tell negralo, I will tell be ante in the eye, speaking to he who be, who he be, I be too, be ante des ilenya, des, des, happiness, des, des, joy, glad, des ilenya, to say to me. So the sense of happiness is also that what word, sound, power, as we say that happiness, gladness is not a feeling in that sense. It's a perception, a state of mind, but it has to do with saying happiness in the I, right? In the I, like happiness is said to I. Happiness is said, joy is said to I. Hasid tenim, hasid tenim, hasid tenim adargalo. And I will exalt, I will rejoice. Type of rejoicing, the hashet, right? Hasid tenim. And rejoicing, I do. I do, I does. Le'ul hoi, le'ul, le'ul, the Most High, often translated as, but also it's one of the orders within John's system of government. We could say like the monarchy in that sense of the le'ul also corresponds to the prince. Oh, prince, le'ul, the one who is on high in that sense. Le'ul, le'ul, le'ul hoi, le'simeh. Le simeh, simeh, the I male name, le simeh izemralo, le simeh izemralo, I will chant Isis, zemre, zemre, to intonate, to chant, chanting Isis to the I's male name, le simeh izemralo. So here we have the opening two verses, then we have verses 3 to 4, Exiarihir, sustaining the good, the generous, open-handed, Ab, Father, Yod Hey, Weh Hey, Yahweh, He who be, who He be, His divine majesty, the vindicator, the vindicator. So here in these two verses we have, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause, thou, the I, sattest in the throne judging right, thou hast rebuked the heathen, thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever, for ever and ever. Oh, thou enemy. Oh, thou enemy. Destructions are come to a perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. So here we have John the Vindicator picking up from verses, I read three verses, but these two verses here, John the Vindicator, verses 3 and 4. Telatoche awodahwala betamelesu gize yisenakalalu kafitehima yitefalu furdena bekelena dergehilinyalina sidkene yeferedih bezufanihilaya tekemet. So here we have these two verses right here. When mine enemies are turned back, they stumble and perish at thy presence, at thy face. Elatoche, my haters, water khwala, water towards khwala, toward the back, water khwala, backward. Betamelesugize,
when they are turned back, turned backward, yisenakalalu, they stumble. They'll be offended in one sense, in a New Testament sense, they'll be offended, but also they'll stumble. Yisenakalalu, kafitehim. And from your male face perception, yitafalo, they will be lost from your perception. They do not have that divine state of mind. Kafitahim yitafalo, or in the temporal, we could say, in the manifest sense, they'll be destroyed at your presence, at your face. But they are lost from his face, from his perception, from his perspective. Kutar Arat, verse 4. Ferdena bekalena dergehil nyalina sidukin iefredih bezufanih laya tek emet. Ferdei, my judgment. Ferdena and Bekelein. And Bekelein, my judgment. It's interesting. Bekelein is like almost avenging, getting a vengeance, you know, in that sense. Adergeh, the I doing, linyalina, the I has done, the I does, what the I does for I. My judgment and Bekele, and my vengeance, the I does it for I. Sidkin, righteousness, Sidkin, Yefredi, the I, the one judging, Sidik, because the I is Melke Sidik, from Sidik, Sidik, righteousness. Sidkin yefredih, the eye judging bezufanih lie upon the eye's male throne bezufanih lie tek emet, the eye seatus, the eye is enthroned on the eye's throne. So here we have verses five to six. Verses 5 to 6, the complete downstruction, destruction of his enemies, of I enemies, of I haters. Verses 5 to 6, right? Yeah, verses 5 to 6. Thou rebukest the heathen, thou destroy the wicked, thou hast put out their name for ivor. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. So the complete downstruction of the deconstruction of the enemy, verses 5 to 6. Ahizabina geses. So what we have here is the nations, Ahzab, the peoples, the Goyim in the Hebrew, but the Ahizavina Gesetze, the I rebukes them. Zinguoch Nim Atefa, Zinguoch, from what we study, an ancient archaic term of the hypocrites, right? You cause them to perish, make them lost. They get lost, and that's when they get lost, right, or cause them to perish. Samachuanim and their name, in the sense of their name, like they have one name. Samachuanim and their name. Lezalema de meses, de meses. You roll out, destroy their name, blotted out. Telatoch. Enemies, betorah lezlalem tefu, betor in war forever
they are destroyed. They're destroyed forever. So when you see the nations is going at war and war, that's it for them. They're destroyed forever, right? Betorah, Lizalema, Tefu, forever, right? They are destroyed by way of war, the haters. Katamochachuwinema, Faresi, and you demolish their cities. Break them down. Zikrachuwim, and their memorial, their zikr, zikrachuwim. Ba'andinet in oneness, tefu, right? Perish all together as one now. So looking at these verses here, bringing us right here, let's bring it to a point right here, right? Because today's psalm right here is so, so very important right here. So let's ride up right here, right? We have verses 7, 9 to 8, John the judge of all, being the judge of all. He's enthroned forever, right? From this instance of retribution, the psalmist and I, we derive a lesson to Meherit, that all the peoples of the earth, the earthly plane, are under the jurisdiction of the eternal judge, even the King of Kings. They have to give account of their actions before him, and he pronounces judgment equitably. The universality of this concept of a gazelle, the sustained, the good, the generous of, should be noted. In other words, let it be noted, verses 7 to 8, a gazelle again, lezalem yinoral, zufanu nema le mefred azegaja, ersum alimina betzidik ayifardatal hizvinim, Sika Ahizab bin Nima Bekinati Danyachual. Verses 7 and 8. Go look at the numbering over here. Yeah, verses 7 and 8. In these verses right here, 7 and 8, but Exiav, the sustainer, shall endure for Iva. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. Exiave again, Lemunora, Zufanim Lemefred, Azegaja. And he shall judge the world in righteousness, he shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Arsum Alemina Bez Idik Yifardatal Ahizabinim Bek Inati Danya Chua. Now here we have verses 9, right, just taking these two verses, each of these two verses has a particular theme, 9 and 10, where verses 9 and 10, Exiav, the sustainer, Yod Hey, where Hey, he will be, who he be, also will be a refuge for the, it says oppressed, rephrase, downpressed, a refuge in times of trouble. Verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, I, for thou, Yahweh, Jehovah, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee, I. Bamarinya, the Met of Kedus. Exiavi harimma le dehocha met egia honacho. Arsum be mekaracho gize radatacho no. Simehina yemiyauku huluba ante itamena luabitu. Yemiyashuhina ate te wachumna. These two beautiful verses right here. Let's keep it moving. This section is Exiari, the sustainer, is the protector, the itector, the protector. Exiari, the sustainer. The good, the generous Ab also will be a high tower for the oppressed, for the downpressed. Exiavi harim, let dehoch for the poor. Metegia, refuge, honacho, he become for them. He be for them. A high tower in times of trouble and troublous time, Arsum, and he himself and none other, Arsum, and he, the Mekaracho Gize, in their times of Mekara, right, their times of trouble, Bemekaracho Gize Redatacho. No, he is their helper. He is their assistant. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, I, in thee, in thee, in thee, in thee, in thee, I. Those that know thy name, Simehin, Simeh, the I male name, Simehin, Ayamiyahu, Kuhulu, Beante, Yitaminalu, Simehin, the I's name, Yamiyahu, Kuhulu. Those who know Hulu, all those who know the I's name, Simehin Yemiyauku Hulu, Be'ante, in the I, speaking to he who be, who he be directly, Be'ante, in the I male, Yitamenalu, they will be Rastaman, Tamenalu, Yitamenalu, they will trust, put their trust, their credo, their credence, their credit, their yea and the amen, to I Father, O Father, O Father, the house, Yemishuhin, Ate Tawachuwimina, those who seek thee, Yemishu, those who seek, Yemishu, those who seek, Yemishuhin, those who seek the I, male. I will not leave, not forsake. He will not forsake, you will not leave those who trust in the I, in the I, in the I, in the I. Here, verses 11 to 12. Verses 11 to 12. Exiavihir, the avenger. Verses 11 to 12, sing praises to Xavier, which dwelleth in Sion, in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Bet Sion le minora le Xavier zemru, the ahizabim le kakela deraraguna negeru. Demachowin, Yemi Maramer Ersu Asboalin, Ye de Hoch Nemachuheta Ala Resamin. Oh, Amen, 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 Amen. Picking up with verses 13 to 14, the prayer of the humble. Have mercy upon me, upon I, Abir, to thy Father. Consider my trouble which I suffer. Of them that hate me, that hate I, thou the I, that liftest me, I up from the gates of death, that I may shew forth all thy praise, thy eyes as in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Verses 13 and 14, the prayer of the humble Abetu. Izenalina telatochem yemiyam etubin mekrai. Komota de joch kef kefa yemita dergen. Misganawino hulu nagerzen. Bez iona leja bede jochua be madanehe desilenyan. Desilenyan. Yes, yes, yes. In the gates of the daughter, the entrance to the city where the people aggregate. So is the best place in which to secure publicity, to publicize in the gates of the daughter of Sion, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, being the mother city. Jerusalem is Ainai, mother, the mother city, even the new Jerusalem. In Ethiopia, yes, I, Rastafari, the daughter of Zion, represents its inhabitants. He has lifted I and I up from the gates, the gates, the gates. Kamote joch kef kef yemita dergen. He has caused I to go high, high, high from the gates of death. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here we get the change to praise to Isis. So verses 15 to 16, retribution.
Bekel, Bekele. Retribution overtakes aggressors. Even those who are passive aggressors overtakes the aggressors. Yes, verses 15 to 16, Chabarim. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net which they hid. Is their own foot taken? Xavier, the stand the good, generous, open-handed, our Father is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked, the ratchet, is sneered in the work of his own hands. Higayon, higayon, the agitation, seh, la, pause. Here we have the retribution that overtakes the aggressors. Here, verses 15 to 16. Ahizabe saruta gudgwada wodaku. Baziachima besheshgwata wetmeda ikracho tet emedech. Exiavi hera ferdina be madrega yetawak and no hat atenya be jochusara tet emede. Gasneed in them own traps. Their own traps and their own schemes. The nations are sunk down in the pit which they made, and the net which they hid is their own foot. Is their own foot taken? They are sunk down. They fell into the pit. They fall. Xavier hath made himself known. He hath executed judgment. The wicked, the ratchet, is sneered in the work of his own hands. Higayon, Selah. Pause. Higayon, a meditation. A meditation. Pause. Here we have verses 17 to 18, the fate of the ratchet. The wicked, the ratchet, shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget, Egeziavi, the sustainer of the good, the generous, our Father. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation, the hope of the poor shall not perish forever, forever. Interesting verse. The nations are turned, the wicked, my shall return to the netherworld. The wicked shall return to the Sheol, the Sheol, the Duat. Even all nations that forget Elohim, the true good, the true God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, nor the expectation of the poor perish forever. Here to fulfill. Oh, note, when poor is mentioned in the scriptures, well, let's just move forward. We're going to touch on that. It's mentioned for sense of devoutness, reverence, even Ila, awe. Not the way in the world, flesh, and the satanic seclora, right? Here we have the last two verses here. Rise, Abiatu. Let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear and respect, Abiatu. Our fathers, Father, O Father of the house, that the nations may know themselves to be. But men, Selah, pause. Verses 19 and 20. Abetu, tenes sawim aiberta ahzabim befitihe yifared debacho abetu forhatina bayaracho chanbacho ahzab sawocha indahonu yuwaku ahzab sawocha indahonu yuwaku.
Yes. Today's daily song. A little Selah right there. Going to the verse by verse right here. And just zoom in on this verse. It's verse 10, I think, in the KJV, verse 11, where it says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee.
and the Tamin sense and the true Amharic, if we reason on Rastaman, that revelation be the head to trust, the trustworthy head, right? Yeah, so it says, for thou, Yahweh, Jehovah, Xiavid Sustainer, has not forsaken them that seek the eye, has not forsaken them that seek the eye. With Yibatehu, Beka, Yodae, Shemeka, and they that know thy name, Yodae Shemeka, that know thy name, Yodae Shemeka, that know thy name, will put their trust in the eye. For thou, Jehovah, has not forsaken them that seek the eye. Zooming in on the sense of seek, just a little bit here, just have like a one and a two of the midrash, had a full of four, but because of time right here, might go over just a little bit. There's a couple of minutes right here to share the part one and two of the midrash. The midrash, the Hebrew midrash, is connected with the Ethiopic dirsan, the dirsan from the derese or the darash, darasha in the Hebrew, darash, darasha in the Ethiopic deres or derese, derese, like to reach, has a sense of to reach in that sense, but in the Hebrew to seek. So here it says, Kilo Azavta Dorshecha Yahweh, for thou, the I, O he who be, we be, has not forsaken them. Ki, the Hebrew ki, for lo azavta, lo azavta, lo azavta, has not azab, has not, like, thrown them away, forsaken them, in that sense. Ki, lo azavta, the I male has not forsaken, dorsheka, those who seek, darash, dorsheka, the seekers. And the sense of seeking, he who be, we be, as it says, to seek the Lord, seek Yahweh, while he may be found. The Hebraic sense of it, the true sense of it, is to seek to know him by way of his revealed revelation of himself. So for I and I, that is through the scripture, as Gormawi Nugusa Neges, the King of Kings, as he says to I, for my part, I glory in the Bible. In other words, by studying the word, by meditating on the truths found therein, we get to know he who be who he be, who he be, through his self-revelation of himself, the Ehya, Shad Ehya, the great I am. So where it says, Ki, lo, azabta, for no, azabta, ki, for lo, no, azabta, the I male, dorsheka, dorsheka, those who darash, who seek, who study. The word also has a sense in the Hebrew, like the midrash is the study. So those who study the I, how can we study he who be, we be the Almighty? Through his self-revelation of himself, through the word, through the scriptures, through the spirit of truth. Dorsheka Yahuwah, Dorsheka Yahuwah, Yahweh, Dorsheka Yahweh. And here, the midrash, part one, part two, right here, just to seal up this T to T.
Shema Yisrael, hear today's Psalm, Mizmor 8, Psalm 9, Mizmor 8, Psalm IX, Lamnatzeach, Al Mutal Labein, Mizmor Le David. For the leader, Lamnatzeach, Al Mut Liban. Alamut Liban. Here, Hebraic, the Aleph verse, the first verse, Hebraically, the superscription, zooming in on the superscription that often is interpreted as to the chief musician upon Mut Labain, a psalm of David, and the Mut Labain, in that pointing death to the son. But here in the Midrash, Lamnatzeach, Alamut Liban, Alamut Liban. The phrase Alamut, Alamut Liban is to be understood in the light of the verse even the verse from Kohelet, from the preacher, from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, that reads, "He hath made everything beautiful in its time. Also he hath set ha-olam, the world, in their heart, be-libam. Also he hath set ha-olam, be-libam. He hath set the world, ha-olam, in their hearts, be-libam, be-libam. Rav Berakayu, Berakaya, said in the name of Rav Yonatan, do not read ha-olam, the world, but however read ha-olalim, ha-olalim. Read the little children, the little children. So do not read in Kohelet Ecclesiastes 3:11, ha-olam. However, Hebraically read it as ha-olalim, ha-olalim, the little children. The verse means, therefore, that Ha'el, the true good, the true God, has set love of little children, in their father's hearts. For example, there was a Melech, a king, a Negus, even Negus Neges, who had two sons, one grown up and the other a little one, a little one. The grown up one was scrubbed clean. And the little one, the little one, was covered with dirt. But Hamelech, the king, the Negus, even Negus Neges, loved the little one, more than he loved the grown-up one. And here, Midrash Nodom, Mizmor 8, Psalm 9, thus, Berakaya, he interprets the phrase, Alamut Liban, to mean little children set in their hearts. So here, and the reasoning here, Rav Berakayu, he interprets the phrase Alamut Liban to mean little children set in their hearts. In a different reading of he hath set ha-olam, ha-olam in the sense of the unknown, he hath set ha-olam be-libam, he hath set the unknown in their heart. Rav Jonathan said, Ha'el, the true good, the true God, has set the fear, the reverence of the unknown of ha-olam, angel of mut, melaak of mut, angel of death, in their hearts. Now, here, there's the Jastro as well as David Luria on the Ecclesiastes of Rabbah 3:3, right, edited, version there, but bringing this out that the phrase Alamut Liban is now interpreted as meaning the unknown in their hearts. So here, taking the opening phrase, phraseology, and somewhat this cryptic, it's like almost like Hebraic enigma here, and bringing this out, we have the phrase Alamut instead of Almut. Look at the manuscripts, there is a kind of a hyphen between the two, but you can see where these two words are connected. So either as almut, separating upon death, or as alamut, alamut liban, as the unknown libam, alamut liban, the unknown in their hearts. Now Rab, the son of Shemuel, the son of Samuel, said in the name of Shemuel, in the name of Samuel, in the verse, even in Bereshis, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And here, Bereshis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Vayar Elohim et kol asher asa v'hine tov me'od. Vayehi erev, vayehi boker yom ha-shishi. And Elohim saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Vayare Elohim et kol asher asa, v'hine tov me'od. It was tov me'od. V'hine tov me'od. And behold, it was tov me'od. It was very good. The words very good, tov me'od, they refer to the inclination to evil, the inclination, the yetzer hara'a in man's heart. The words tov me'od refer to the inclination to evil in a man's heart. Now here, Midrash note the impulse, the yetzer hara, the yetzer hara, hara, the inclination to evil, to hurt, that prompts a man to do or say or think things contrary to the revealed will of Elohim, of Ha'el, the true good, the true God. So what is the yetzer hara? The yetzer hara, the inclination to the evil, hara. It is the impulse that prompts a man to do or say or think things contrary to the revealed will of Ha'el, the true good, the true God of Ha'Elohim. But how can the inclination to evil, the Yetzer Hara, be termed Tov Me'od? Because Scripture teaches that were it not for the Yetzer Hara, the inclination to evil or to hurt, a man would not take a isha, a man would not take a wife, nor beget children with her. And so, the world could not endure. So, the question now comes out, but how can the Yetzer Hara, the inclination to hara'a, the evil, be termed very good or tov me'od, because the Scripture teaches that were it not for the yetzer hara, a man would not take a wife nor beget children with her, and so the world could not endure. So here in the Midrash note, almut liban, Alamut Libam is now interpreted as meaning the world in their heart. Alamut Libam, interpreted as Targum here, is meaning the world in their heart. Now another Targum interpretation, the verse is read, he hath caused to be hidden, Ha Olam, from their heart. The word ha-olam being written somewhat defectively without the letter waw, waweh, the W, waweh. Some call it vav, but without the Hebrew letter waw, waweh, is to be read he-elim, 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 he-elim. Caused to be hidden. Ha'elim, ha'elim. Caused to be hidden. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Holy One. That is that the Holy One, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessed be He, hid the day of death and the day of judgment from the hearts of His creatures. Therefore, David said, because Thou hidest them from me, I shall sing a psalm, a mizmor, Lamna tzeyach, almuta liban, as we have here in the Aleph, in the title superscription, Hebraically, the first verse of Mizmor 8 of Psalm 9, Lanatzeach Almut Liban, in praise of thy hiding of the day of death and the day of judgment from the heart. Another comment on Almut Liban, concealed from the heart. Almut Liban, concealed from the heart. The phrase is to be read in the light of the verse, even the verse from Kohelet. Kohelet, Ecclesiastes 12 and 18. Kohelet sought to understand the ordinances of delight. Kohelet, the preacher. Kohelet sought to understand, to understand, to overstand the ordinances, the ordinances of delight. Hear, 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 Ecclesiastes 12 and 10. And here, companion Midrash note, the ordinances of delight are taken to refer to HaTorah, are taken to refer to the Torah, and Kohelet to Shlomo. So therefore, the Kohelet, the preacher, is Shlomo, is Solomon, Solomon. And HaTorah, the Torah, Jah's direction, instructions, is the ordinances of delight, of ilight, of delight. This verse, it means that Shlomo, Solomon sought to have Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Ha'elohim, explain to him the scriptural ordinances concerning the red heifer, the Para Aduma, whose ashes was used for lustration, especially the ordinance that Rav Yitzhak Isaac stated as follows, quote, all that have the care of the heifer, the para, make their garments unclean, but the para, the heifer, itself, herself, makes clean the unclean. So all that have the care of the para, the heifer, make their garments unclean, but the para, the heifer, herself, makes clean the unclean. Whereupon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, the Isle One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, quoted the conclusion of the verse that reads, that which was written was upright, Yashar, even ordinances of truth, and said, for thy benefit I wrote long ago in the book of the upright, the Sefer, Hayashah, Yasher, Jasher, as it is said, even in Yehoshua, in Joshua chapter 10, verse 13, is not this written in the book of the upright? Live uprightly, live simply, live faithfully. When I've issued a decree or establish an ordinance, is it not to be, it's not to be questioned. It is not to be questioned. It is not to be questioned. As is said, even in Bamidbar, in Numbers, chapter 19, verse 2, this is an ordinance of the law that the Lord hath commanded. Zot chukata ha-Torah. This is the statute, the ordinance. Zot chukat ha-Torah, of the Torah. This is the statute, the ordinance of the Torah. Zot chukat ha-Torah. Asher iwah Yahuwah, that Jehovah hath commanded, that he who be, who he be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, has commanded. What is meant here by this, Hebraically speaking, Zot, this, this she, Zot, What is here meant by this? Hebraically, zot. Zot, this she, is meant to stress the fact that the series of ordinances of statutes concerning the para aduma, the red heifer, it differs from that concerning the sacrificial heifer, that the elders of a city are ordained to take into a rough valley and there break its neck. And here, Midrash notes, Numbers chapter 19, Deuteronomy chapter 21, 1 to 6. Here, in this section right here. Now, another comment on Ohelet, the preacher, sought to understand, etc., etc. Shlomo, Solomon sought to have Ha'el, the true good, the true God, Ha'Elohim, explained to him the reward for study of Torah, for study of Torah, for study of John's direction instructions. Of that we are told, even in Proverbs 3, verse 15, she is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou, the eye canst desire, are not to be compared to her. Are not to be compared to her. Yikahi mifanim vikola chifat eka lo yeshuvaha lo yeshubaha lo yeshubaha. She is more precious than rubies. Yikahi mifanim. And all the things thou canst desire, with kol achifat eka, are not to be compared to her. Yishawu baha, lo yishawu baha, or lo yishavu vaha, are not to be compared to her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu quoted to Shlomo, to Solomon, the conclusion of the verse, even from Kohelet, Ecclesiastes 12 and 10, that reads, that which was written was upright, even words of truth. That which was written was upright, even words of truth. Bikesha Koheleta limsoa divreya chifetz. Kohelet sought to find out words of delight. Bikesha Kohelet limso divrei chifetz. And that which was written uprightly, even words of truth. Vikatuva Yosher, Yosher, Divrei Emet, Wikatuba, Yosher, Divrei Emet, and that was written uprightly, Wikatuba, Yosher, even words of truth, Divrei Emet. And for thy benefit I wrote long ago, in the book of the upright, that reads, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard. Hear. Yeshayahu, Esaias, Isaiah 64 and 3. Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard. Neither hath the eye seen. O God, beside thee, the eye, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Ua me olam lo shamu lo he ezinu ayin lo rataha Elohim zolatecha ya ese lima hakeh lau. And wherefore from of old, u me olam, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, ששמעו מעולם, לא שמעו, לא האזינו, neither have the eye seen, עין לא ראתה, a God beside the eye, besides the eye, Elohim azulatech, יעשה למחכה להו, who worketh for him that waiteth for him. יעשה למחכה להו. ומעולם לא שמעו, לא האזינו, עין לא ראתה, אלוהים זולתך. יעשה למחכה להו. Since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, neither have the eye seen. O Elohim, O Elohim, Zolatecha, besides the eye, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Another comment, Shlomo, Solomon. Solomon sought to have Elohim explain to him what is the reward of men who fear, who reverence, who respect Elohim, and who trust in him, men to whom scripture says, even in Malachi 3:12, ye shall be a delightsome land. Thereupon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, quoted to Shlomo, Solomon, that which was written, Wikatub, and said, long ago I wrote, even in Psalm 31:20, O how abundant is thy goodness, that thou the eye hast laid up for them that fear thee, that reverence thee, that respect the eye. Mahrav tuvka asher tzafanta lireka. O how abundant is thy goodness. Mah Rab Tubaka, that thou hast laid up for them that reverence, that respect the eye. Asher Tzafanta Li Reka. Ma Rab Tubaka, Asher Tzafanta Li Reka. Another comment. Shlomo, Solomon, sought to have Elohim explain to him what is the reward of acts of mercy. Of that, Ha'el, the true good, the true God, says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Hosea 6:6. Thereupon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu quoted to Shlomo, to Solomon, that which was written, Wikatub, and said, long ago, I wrote, according to Devarim, Deuteronomy 7:9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. Ze yada'ita ki Yahweh Eloheka hu ha-Elohim ha-El Haneman Shomera Habrita We Ha Cheseda Le Ohebayo Ula Shomre Mitzotav. Know therefore We Yadaita. Know therefore that Jehovah thy Elohim, we yada'ita ki Yehovah Eloheka, he himself is the true good, the true God, who ha Elohim, the true God, ha'el, ha'neman, the faithful God, the faithful El, the true El, Ha'el, Ha'ne'eman, the faithful, the true El, the true God, Ha'el, Ha'el, Haneman, the faithful, Shomrei Habri, who keepeth covenant with HaChesed and mercy and loving kindness, Le'ohebayo, to them that love him, Ula Shomrei Mitzotau, and keep and guard and hedge about his commandments. Le Elephadora, to 1,000 generations. We Yadaita Ki Yahuwah Eloheka Hu HaElohim HaEl HaNeman Shomrei Shomer HaBrita We HaChesed Le Ahbay Lohbay Ula Shomrei Mitzotau Le Elephador. Another comment. Shlomo, Solomon sought to have HaElohim, the true good, the true God, explain to him when the year of redemption would come. The year of that we read even in Song of Songs, Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs 3 and 5. I charge you not to stir up nor awake love till he desire. Thereupon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Holy One, blessed be he, quoted, with Katuba, that which was written, and said, long ago I wrote, even in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 63 and 4, the day of vengeance shall be in my heart until my year of redemption, until my year of redemption will come. The day of vengeance shall be in my heart until my year of redemption will come. Ki yom nakam bilibia ushnata geulai ba'ah. And my year of redemption are come. Ki yom nakam bilibi. Ki yom nakam belibi ushnata geulai ba. Rav Shmuel taught in the name of Rav Yehuda, if a man tells you when the day of redemption is coming, do not believe him, for it is written in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 63 and 4, the day of vengeance shall be in my heart. Kiyom nakam bilibi. If the heart does not disclose its secrets to the mouth, how can the mouth